You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
I can now.
Well, I was going to say good evening until I seen it was two minutes past 12. So good morning.
Good morning. So Tim's come straight in.
Didn't even see Tim. And he's going to do the live 3 minutes past 12 buffer. The live one for us. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
On a journey into Fakeologist territory. Something like that.
This is the sameish path going at the moment. Oh, by the way, I was putting some pictures of sorry.
I'd heard Tim last night on... Here we go. Hey!
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
I mean, that's rather presumptuous, isn't it? You are listening to another hour. How do you know? I might be turning it off in 2-3 minutes and going having a sausage.
Never thought of that. God, you're fast.
No, talking of having a sausage, did you hear the audio last night? Tim did a show with, Dudette. That's a good name. I like Dudette. I like Dudette. That's the best part of the name. Like the ice roof. I wasn't sure about that. Roof. An ice roof.
I never examined it. I did go through the website and have looked at a few videos, and I've subsequently subscribed to it, but I've not gone back over it yet. But on first impressions, everything seemed lovely. Apart from Ab accusing people of audio failings and then blaming himself.
Yes, he said he couldn't understand what you're saying. He said you're doing a wonderful job, a really good job. He couldn't understand what you're saying. I'm kind of surprised you thought everything was in order with the guest, because I mean, well, there is a slightly controversial person. I'm not sure you're going to agree with everything she said, are you?
I don't really agree with anyone, Tom. So what I'd rather do is like just sort of rehash things with them and then, you know, go over.
Look at it, take it in and there's no need to, that's fair enough, you know.
I think that makes a lot more sense. I think that's why I've not investigated this, the JLB, you know, the JLB flat earth model or whatever it may be. I'm waiting for him to do an in-depth expose on it, and I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll have a pointer and everything. So, yeah. But, nevertheless, you've put a lot of posts on there, and I've disregarded them this afternoon, been doing a couple of little bits. But I didn't want to sit down and get into the thought process of having to think about them straight away. And hence why we're sort of here now.
Well, it's ever so topical. So we're going to talk about the baby Charlie, or whatever you want to call it, case.
Okay, so where am I going to first? On Discord, which thread am I going to?
It's General Unverified.
That sounds ominous in itself, doesn't it? Right, so I'm going to scroll up here now.
General Unverified.
I've got to Charlie the baby. This is the post that you posted at 8:06, and Charlie's fight for life, and we have a child and a respirator.
You don't have to particularly. I mean,
I'm just saying if anyone wants to go back over it there, because otherwise, there is a lot to go over. I was looking at the conversation between you two gents.
Fucking next week, won't it? And they won't go back and look at it. You'd need to do a thread. This is why this chat, putting stuff in the chat here, it doesn't necessarily get lost. It's a nice way to present it, but it goes away. I mean, it's not like it's in the forums or anything, is it? So chat is more of a record. So you asked me to come on here and make a little record of it, which is probably
exactly.
Yeah.
It seems to be the best way of doing things. Not only that, the date is the start.
Let's open up the conversation here on it, because I haven't had that much to add. It's just that I looked at it today and my newspaper said, give Charlie a chance. I saw the changing and face the strain. Change it. David, But that reminds me a little bit of the monkey from MH17, who was in a posture rather like the picture on The Lodger, a David Bowie album. Anyway, I'm sure it's not all mixed in and related, but it did look a bit like The Lodger album, the way he wore that black and white monkey from MH17. Now, I'm all over the place here because I'm darting about to a previous op from 2014, MH17. Yes. That was a plane that was shot down in Russia. Now, at what relevance has it got to today in that there was a monkey that was presented at the same time a Planet of the Apes film came out at the same time that summer, and it tied in and it was referenced effectively. Now, exactly what did that all mean put together? I don't know, but it was definitely grabbing our attention and mixing cross-culturally clear references. And then,
it fell when people were actually looking at planes as well.
Yeah, exactly. And these PSYOP things, this trauma-based mind control, whatever, is people are staring at them in this moment of trauma, and it goes in sort of subliminally somewhere, perhaps, in this moment of fear. Our minds are open up more to it or something. Events like MH17, a Russian bombing it down. And so all the blokes are, but perhaps, I don't know, some of us are more fascinated than others, but we study these things. And we look at them and we see MH17 and this monkey and all that bollocks. But I wondered at the time, was it portentous perhaps? Would they use the 17 in the name as a future reference to things? And on the football, when that MH17 came in down, we had a big Newcastle United story. And that was in 2014. And I thought, well, perhaps they're going to go down. And I made a little note of it. I wrote about it. That year, because they'd gone down in this plane crash, these supporters, and they didn't that year. They stayed up just. They went right down to the bottom of the league. They looked like they were going to go down. They just survived. But then the next year, they went down. And then in 17, they came back. Division below. So they came back in 17. So here's me. You've got me waffling here a bit.
No, Tom, you're not waffling there, mate. Everything there was legible. And literally, I was keeping up with everything you were saying there, mate. You're not waffling at all.
It seems like I'm a way off getting to talking about this baby thing. It's just that another Planet of the Apes film has come out this year, 2017. This time, War of the Planet of the Apes. It was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes when that monkey was held up by those I don't know, Ukrainian sort of like militia. I don't know what they were. Who were and their plane was shot down then. But yeah.
Could that be akin to?
But now it's war. Now
then, sorry, I'm not jumping
going on
there.
Right enough. No, it's that there's a delay, right? And so sometimes I cut over you, you may cut over me, and it's because it's not as intuitive as actually talking to you on the phone or something.
It's almost discordant.
It's a little bit discordant.
It's discordant, yes.
Yeah, only slightly though. It's not too bad, is it? Actually, it's a great little platform.
Love it.
Right by me than I had before. So there's this baby Charlie thing. So it's in the paper today. Give Charlie a chance. And I was drawn in by the couple's names, Chris and Connie. And we've got the two C's there, which just a little bit draws you in thinking, well, they could easily be Chris and Connie. I've got two stepsons called Chris and Charles.
And they're wearing sunglasses. They're coming out.
Three C's.
Three C's.
So two stepchildren and a daughter, all three C's. I mean, it fucking happens, you know what I mean? But there is Chris and Connie in this really prominent story, and there is a monkey. And it's in our faces, and Trump's talking about it, and there's a big debate out of whether they should save the baby, you know. And there he is with his hair combed across in a, you know, like, I don't know, a royalty in a brown with a blue starry top on and his baby grow, and this monkey prominent. And then the dad and mum have been in court today. He went in with a monkey in his pocket, their little reference, and looking a bit stern. And then they came out with shades on, pretending to cry. Well, it looked like they're pretending to cry, acting upset. So, I mean, what is this? This looks like, I mean, I don't know what
I
you
think this is what they call closure for the people that paid attention to it on the time. You know, closure. Just tying up loose ends. Sorry. This is like staying up for, you know, you get that program called, Big Brother.
Yeah.
And then you get there was a program that was introduced called Big Brother's Little Brother, which was
BB, of course, another BB, Big Brother. Yeah.
Oh God, I didn't even realise. Maybe the reports now is this is the equivalent of fake terror, little terror. You know, this is the close up time. I don't know. You do track the when something the diminishing coverage. You know, you do watch it. It is recognisable. It's never more than 2 weeks.
I think I understand what you're talking about, but
there needs to be something. It can't just be forgotten about. It needs to be a little bit of information there, whether it's court cases pending or different witnesses. But it does it scales down, de-escalates. That's the word.
It's a big media event, and there's a huge amount of international attention on it, and it looks contrived to me in the sense that we know how these things kind of work, and rather than have a real case. Well, perhaps you could have some real people who did have a child in that position. You could quite easily do that, you know. The whole thing, you've got complete control over it, you know. And then you can design it and
who's going to say anything? The newspapers could quite easily have print something which is terrible. Say to them, I'm not even saying terrible, which might not be untrue. Turn up and put £10,000-£20,000 in front of them in a briefcase saying, look, sorry about that, but we've used your picture on the front cover. We don't know.
I actually know how it works. What I'm aware of is the hand is there, I think. You know, it's quite clear that there's a hidden hand there. This is designed to, I mean, it would be planned, you know, to be a story. And I'm not saying necessarily this is, they've said in MH17, follow the monkey, but, you know, in offense, it has popped up again. The monkey in it, this sort of poignant story, but it may be.
Yeah, well,
what it means at all. But sorry, but mate.
Sorry, no, I'm just saying that. Like you say, he's holding the monkey up in his hand. It's covering his wife's covering her mouth. You know, you've got so see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. She's covering her mouth. They're both wearing sunglasses, and he's holding a monkey over his ear.
Yeah, monkey meme. Yeah.
See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. But just on a basic level,
evolution, you know, the ascent of man.
It does seem that I've not even ready to formulate an idea yet. You know, it's a load of colours in my head. If I can put it into words, I will do soon.
Here's an interesting thing, right? And it's tangential again. And I excuse me, whoever, if anyone listens to this stuff, for waffling a bit this evening, but. Someone said to me an interesting experiment that they said had been carried out with apes. So they did this experiment with apes where they reared them, one without any mother or anything, on their own, sort of like in a very solitary existence. This is how he put it to me. Very solitary existence. One pen was reared with an icon, other animal, but this kind of an icon sort of thing, like an image of something. And then the other one had a mother. And the one that was with no one, no other animal, no interaction at all, was lost. The one with the icon coped best and learnt to cope best. And the one with the mother, you know, too babyish for too long, you know.
That's very telling.
Was the So, yeah, I just thought, yeah, that's good. I wonder. Yeah. You know.
But, or maybe, because we know how malevolent they are. That was the experiment's result before they even did it. They went, nope, the one with a false idol. I don't know. I'm a psychologist, man. I've gone weird.
No, it's perhaps...
Definitely.
Well, they became independent without being too clingy to their, you know, but...
Well, you see that in the real world, don't you?
Spartu that was immovable. And strong, at least.
You see that in the real world. It seems to be that the children who sort of travel away farthest and earliest seem to do a lot better than the ones who, you know, stay close to home. So,
boarding school.
Perhaps
the prep school and boarding school, isn't it?
Yes. That's you see, I'm not against...
Make him mad of him, make him tougher.
Yes. You see, I'm not against the idea of any of these institutions that have produced marvellous people. It's always the, the fundamental, the traditions that go with these sort of establishments, which gets me. But nevertheless, I'm not against anything like that. Really not. I would much rather, if I had a child and I was doing a bit of work, I'd rather him spend a lot more time with other students and stuff like that than be at home on his own. But in the modern day nowadays, kids can, everybody stays online and talks to each other. So I don't know how that'd work now. But no, I can see it. And I can also see the attraction with arranged marriages as well. There's some traditions in the world that, I'm not totally against.
Yeah. I mean, my example, total hearsay, I merely sort of thought it was an interesting idea. I don't even know if that experiment really happened and what were the real results were, and I never looked at it, but yeah.
Nevertheless, I mean, even if the results weren't, wasn't done on a massive scale, that still probably would have been the main characteristic that the ones that weren't hindered or didn't have the extra information, whatever you want to call it, actually, flourished.
Interesting that we could respond, or those animals could respond on that level and find some grounding by having something to focus on there.
Yeah, they say with animals, only when they're born, it's that imprinting, and an animal does that instinctually. So maybe it's just seen on a shorter basis. I mean, how long were these experiments carried out for? Do you know?
Yeah, no, I don't know anything about it at all. I just thought conceptually the concept was quite interesting.
Yeah, and it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And so we're talking all the time about people trying to control a mass of body of people, effectively, aren't we? It seems to be all about control.
Yeah.
So these kind of.
Well, I mean, for instance. All I was going to say there, for instance, there's one thing that always occurred to me, and you've probably seen it in Britain, because obviously you're a resident. Every Christmas or every early winter, we get floods or early November or January, sort of around there, around about that time. And it seems to me that that's done to keep the soldiers that are on home leave on the toes. It doesn't seem, and then what happens, you see the news reports and there's soldiers there. It's every year and it sticks out. Surely you could remedy it, after it happening 50 years on the trot.
That's interesting. Yeah.
They do stick out, these things, Tom, like you say. There'll be a blizzard Christmas Day, and it's all we had to get the army out. And it's, because there's about 8,000 of them on home leave. So, we're going to make them do something.
Yeah, we never have that. But then we're not as big a city as Manchester.
No, but I mean, like, up in the, in the Northlands, I mean, you might get 500 soldiers depleted around, like, say, North Yorkshire or, Cumbria, because my friend's up that way as well. And he'll say, if there seems like there's going to be a flood now, there's going to be, where the banks have, flare okay, up, they're about.
Yeah, no. Okay, sorry, you're talking Yorkshire. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty much, I'd say from the middle to the west coast of Britain. So even past Cumbria and stuff like that. But they did it, and it's always near where they actually live. There's a lot of soldiers from there, there's a lot of bases around there. It's like, right, you've just got to do something. I don't know, I could be going out on a limb. I could be. Well, I probably am.
Well, these things, some of these things are just really probably good for good PR, anyway, and make sense to sort of keep going, possibly, quite possibly. Very, very possibly, It's a good exercise.
So what's the next part?
It also maintains the threat of the instability of flooding to landowners and things, which is always handy to sort of keep, for the control. Get the army in just to sort of, walk over the lands and handy at hand. I don't know. Yeah. What I'm waffling on about.
No, you're right. They are used as, I'd say, more of a visual deterrent than anything else, or a visual aid, so to speak. I can't tell you how many of them films I used to watch. Sorry?
The army is called in to save the day,
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, like when you see them all jumping out of planes, and you get 9 jumping out in 4 seconds, and all these different things. It's always an impact. You don't just turn around to soldiers and they're walking down the road. They're always building a bridge. They're doing something, aren't they?
But the advert, the commercial for the military, Oh yeah, they tick over, don't they? They've never sort of. I suppose a lot of what we talk about is based around a military way of control.
I think that's the mindset we're in. If I'm being that honest with you, I think we are a militaristic mindset, even if we're unsure. It's definitely based that way. And I mean me and you as well.
Well, I think that basically if we grew up, we're people as well. Well, people did this, didn't they? They started civilization. So there were some winners one day somewhere along the line. You know what I mean?
They say that they're only pride in your step. And we all grew up watching the war films and hearing stories of people dying in battle and stuff like that. So you do have... It's almost we're being branded, you know, subconsciously.
Yeah, what are we naturally? You know, I think we're. I don't know. You know,
and I don't think war would be possible if children didn't have, you know, weapons. You know, toy weapons. And I'm not a fuddy duddy either. I used to make guns and you know weird things, but obviously that was just because they're training little soldiers.
But that's been taken out. I mean, when we grew up, I had toy guns all the time, and my dad made me a rifle. I remember I couldn't wait, you know, 8 years old. And as soon as I could get a gun in my hands, I wanted to get one, you know, and shoot things.
But nevertheless, I'm not taking anything away from guns either.
But at about the age of 11, 12, I changed, you know, completely, really. It didn't take me long. I wouldn't dream of shooting an animal now or something, you know.
Yeah. Well, like I said to someone over there, I mean, I leave a window open for a fly just in case like he wants to leave or if another one wants to come in. I think there is a change that goes on.
Sorry talking over you. Yeah, I don't kill flies either.
Yeah, no, but there does seem to be a change coming. I think this is why they're incorporating maybe this technology to make it less human. You know, you can control missiles from, you know, 200 miles away. You can press a button here and get something.
We think
it was
fake, largely. We hope they're making it faker. That's what I think.
Yes, yes.
Why not? That's what I'd say. From what I've seen, it's better than real war. You know, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. There was a film come out a while back called Ender's Game, where he was fighting aliens, and it was a young lad doing almost like a training course. It was a bit like a 6-week course, and at the end of it, they said there's going to be one of yous now, and this is the film Ender's Game. There's going to be one of yous now who joins, who basically becomes the elite. And they tested this lad, and he went, and he said, "Right, you've passed." And when they said he passed, it was because he'd done a military exercise and he was fighting the enemy. But then they said to him, "No, you won. That was the enemy." So they told him it was a test, even though it wasn't a test for the test. You know what I mean? They said, after this test, you'd be able to go up against the enemy. And the test was the enemy.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that was Harrison Ford was in that as well. And it was called Ender's Game, Ender's Game. And something, and it was about 2014. So just at a time when space was literally getting thrown out the window, or out the space window. And people were thinking about simulation theory, i.e. Mark Sargent and Michael Talbot and everybody else who got on board. So yeah, there's a correlation with the things that we sort of think subliminally, and then they come out, and it's being able to go back, like you say, or identify what you're seeing on the screen to go, mate, that's where we got the idea from.
I'm not sure that they don't, this foreshadowing and storytelling, if there wasn't any of this bullshit around, any media or any of this crap, there would be signs in nature that we could read that actually foretell the future. Did I actually just say that?
No, that makes sense.
The foreshadowing is merely mimicking nature. Amazingly, possibly there are, you know, we pick up a huge amount more in this kind of magical world that we live in, and we could learn some inspiring truth if we knew the real truth, you know, that wondrous and,
I know exactly.
I felt that I'd get science from nature. But, and then uncannily, I'm the person that can read subliminals in media, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so I'm reading subliminals in real life, it feels like. And then I can read them. I don't know. Maybe that's me sort of hoping for this sort of magic to be actually not just make believe. So maybe I'm just a real old romantic, eh?
I think you are a Renaissance man, I really do. I don't think that takes away anything from what you say. I think I remember I've listened to you for a number of years now, mate, and everything you say has, you know, weight behind it. So no, I think you're right.
I think we do see things, whether or not
we see them on a daily basis and in nature. I mean, I remember a few of the observations said about birds and stuff like that, and I have noticed different things on certain days to do with things that were poignant to me, and then all of a sudden it's happening in nature. So let's just put it at that basic level. You know, it's not man-made; it's, you know, natural.
Yes.
But even on the visual level, nature shows you colours. I think that really, that's very powerful. It's powerful. If you're in a desolate land, all of a sudden you see a rose or a petal, or maybe even a flag for a castle, or for a stronghold where you're going to. So I think they sort of hijack nature and whatever nature is. I mean, I'm not even trying to explain what nature is, but maybe the colours from nature, in the way, you know, certain things stand out and they give you a hope. Like when you were saying there about the experiment, you know, if they've got a mum, or they've got a cardboard cut out of a mum, or a surrogate mum. If the idea is there for something to do it, I think they can hijack it. And even if we think it's good or bad, we probably still go along with it because of that gut instinct thing that we have. You know, we will sort of pull on the rope of it before we swing it. So, you know, I don't know, but I this is the weird thing with human psychology. Does any of the stuff like all these great psychologists talk about, Sigmund Freud and all that? Because I've never looked into him. I've spent a very cursory amount of time. And it never even seems like they're treating us as humans. And yet you seem to me like you'd make the perfect psychologist. You know what I mean? It's not cold. It's not cut off. It's not, you know, stilted. You're just going, yeah. Because, I mean, I could quite easily just go spend 5 minutes talking with you. Then you'd probably do better than a psychologist would.
Well, I think the subject is important. If you kind of get it from me, then great. You know, but not everyone would, Denny. I'm pleased you do, man.
but you know what I'm saying. No, I mean, it's not closed off like you know, these clinical scientific people that speak like that. You don't, you know, you elaborate and go into things like that, and you actually find out things which make more sense than, oh, tell me about your mother. The problems that people probably have in modern day society is because the subconscious is picking up on the stuff you're talking about. You know what I mean?
I know you know what I mean,
but you know, there's stuff out there that needs explaining to you in your head. Things don't make sense, and then after 200 or 300 things don't make sense, you start analysing yourself and think,
I don't know.
But anyway,
What about the trend in this country? So the Queen is in her 93rd year. If we were in B terminology, I think it's called supersedure, where they prepare several other queens as the ailing queen reaches her dotage. She's nearly toppling off and posting her clogs, basically. When the old queen gets old, they prepare some others. And now the one that wakes up first is the winner, in the sense that it kills all the other ones instantly. It spikes them in their pods. The other three or four, whatever. And she takes over as a new queen.
They reject her?
I just wonder about our queen.
Do they ever reject the queen?
Yeah, they at times. I think in that instance of one that they prepared in a pod, they wouldn't, because that's, I think, but it can happen. They don't like the look of one, they'll kill one. They'll overpower it and they hug it to death, I think, or something. They call it the hug of death or something. They all crowd round and they just overheat it and it dies, I think.
Like you mentioned the Lion, was it Lion King earlier? So do you think, like, was it Lion King? It was the Lion King you mentioned earlier.
Planet of the Apes?
Sorry, Planet of the Apes, yeah, with the monkeys. Well, in the Lion King, we see the monkey picking up the new lion, don't we, and showing it to the sun. And that sort of pops into my head. when you were talking about the queen there. So it's like an offering. This is your new queen. So even the people who are put at the top of this level are literally servants as well. Do you believe it to be that way?
Absolutely. I mean, to an extent. Yeah. We're just all the same, aren't we?
Yeah, we're all paid with time and life, you know.
So to an extent, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
No, because I've been looking into this now. Not what you've been saying there, but the things that we see, and sort of the bolstering of society in Disney films, and you know, the structure of, you know, a queen and putting people in place, and people being, you know, lowly housemaids, and then becoming a princess, and you know, all these things. It's all just keep this structure going, and then we get army films where you've got the, you know, the lowly, what were they called? You know, someone who was an ensign, whatever, on a ship. And then you might have the Commodore, you know, and obviously the worlds apart. And it all just keeps the same narrative going, and we get the same with the kings.
Yeah. Yeah, the system. The system. Yeah. The army. The judiciary.
And that's what makes us think militaristic.
Well, I suppose ultimately, yeah. Yeah, military, naval, military intelligence running the show. Long old, old systems work well. Yeah, I mean, it's promo, isn't it? You know, I said before, didn't I, Harry Styles getting his hair cut to go in the art in that film that's just come out, Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. Recycled themes, as you're saying, you know, in World War II, we grew up with it, didn't we? You know, I mean, I absolutely lived war films when I was younger.
Yeah.
Second World War. Absolutely. Loads of them. Black and white films. Lapped it all up. Like I said, I had a gun. I wanted to be in the army. I wanted to be a commando. You know, I wanted to be. Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely loved Action Man. My parents were both from Windsor. I had soldiers, you know, little tip. I mean, absolutely military. Loved it. My favorite film was like, I don't know, which one was it? Clint Eastwood and Richard Burton and Where Eagles Dare?
Oh, yeah. Was that weird? Or was that Eagles? No, Where Eagles Dare? Not the Eagle Sanction, was it? No, sorry. It's me. Yeah. I mean, I think mine. The one that got me was, do you ever remember that film, Too Late the Hero?
You probably saw it, but it's black and white, isn't it?
I'm not sure if it is. I don't think it is, but the best scene in it is the last scene, obviously. And it's pretty much English soldiers, or English stroke Scottish soldiers, because at the end of the day, it's the Scottish that take up most of the English army. Or, you know, the best part, especially all the paratroopers and the Marines. You know, they are all Scottish. They're the tough lads.
Braveheart tradition goes a long way.
It goes down through the generations. But I think a couple of last scenes was, all the soldiers coming back across a minefield, running basically, but I think it's back towards the prisoner of war camp that they've just escaped from. It's weird, but you're there and you're watching it in slow motion, and it's coming. I put it to you anyway. Have a watch of it if you get a chance. It's a good film. But you've got, if you typed in now on your computer and just read the names out on it, the gravitas behind the names behind it, it'd show you how important it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what year.
Someone said to me today, there's been a Jewish fire in London. I said, what? He said a Jewish fire, and then he laughed. He said, sorry, I can't say that.
A Jewish fire, you know what that means, don't you? It means there's no crackling.
Camden Market went ablaze, so. Yeah.
So you didn't hear that, did you? I said no crackling.
Exactly. Well, not if it was a Jewish one. Yeah, hopefully. No. Is that the right word?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. So what are you up to now then with this fire block now? Do you think this is the last we'll hear of it after the newspapers?
Grenfell?
Yep.
Oh, what a wonderful, it was a wonderful story. Nah, fucking go on forever, wouldn't it? We'll hear about this for the next 20 years at least. I mean, I wonder what the total's going to be.
What are we on?
I don't know.
280.
It's about 80. They're coming to that one now. There's not a specific figure. About 80. Yeah, it's a fucking great block of flats. You know, it's all a bit vague. 355, I think, escaped. They know that figure, you know, I suppose because they're alive. The other people are burnt to a crisp, where they're alluded to be burnt to crisps and things and to dust. So they can't identify some of the bodies, they say. There was one story of about 42 people being in one room. I mean, imagine that.
Mm.
I should have fucking anyone's house, isn't it? Really?
Oh, that's not true.
Flats look like in England, you know, but have you ever tried to get, yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I should not laugh, should I? I mean,
no, you shouldn't, but nevertheless you should, because you just reminded me of the Life of Brian when all the soldiers run in the house, and that's pretty much what it would have to be.
Well, I wonder.
And they run out and say, we found a spoon.
Yeah. Struggling for air, do you know what I mean? Would you, your instinct be, well, what it alludes to is a very horrible situation where a whole load of people were frightened and got together and huddled up, which, you know, I'm sure, you know, what might be, you know, we could imagine being a nightmare scenario. So, you know, that's why I feel I shouldn't necessarily laugh at it. I should qualify it, really. But, yeah, I like to laugh in the sense that when I find out these things aren't real. So, yeah, it's good for you, isn't it? I'm not guilty.
No, I'll be dead honest with you, Tom. I don't believe anything I see on the TV or read the papers. So, you know, and no one's come up to me and said this happened. So, you know, and I can literally take it or leave it. I do like to address the odd thing here and there. I don't think you need to explain your opinion. I really don't. I think you tried and tested, and anyone who'd actually be listening would know where you're coming from. And anyone who's not, the candidness of it would actually wake them up. You know, I was talking to Uninstall Media the other day.
He's cool.
Oh, he's brilliant, James. And
he's sharp, isn't he? Yeah.
Very, very, very sharp. And he just said a few things to me. He said, like, you know, sort of after, put it in my words, you have to safeguard a few of the things we have to say nowadays, but nevertheless, you should still be able to talk about certain things. And I do agree with him on that, you know, on that part of his argument. But also, I have to incorporate my bit where I don't believe TV or newspapers. And also your experiencing things like this. So even though I agree with you and I agree with James and I agree with myself, there is a bit of a conflict on fakeologists in a way, you know, with the way people sort of view things and, you know, don't speak. I'm not saying speak willy nilly about things or totally free, but, you know, we sort of don't, address things in the right respect. I mean, we can't start every conversation with, I know 911 was an inside job, I know JFK, you know, we can't do that. We can't keep going over it. But, there does come a point where if people are going to start going and getting offended, you know, and being shocked at the most smallest thing, then I think we can sort of leave them people behind now. You know, and I know James is the same, because James sees the sensationalization of things that, you know, we don't know exactly the same. And it makes sense to me. It really, really does. So I think we need to be on point more now, don't we? With the current climate of fake news and everything being called fake.
Yeah, I think it's never any harm to ask for clarity.
Mm.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I definitely. Yes,
and that's what you've done. That's what you've done. Come in with your opinion and a few different bits.
Tidy up my shit here and get myself organised would help me with clarity. Yes, I think, you know, definitely. You're saying there's some disparity. Yes, you said there's disparity in the opinions, even on this site. So, you know, I don't like to shove anything down anyone's throat or, you know, be on audio chat too much, you know, banging on about, you know, something.
No, well, I sort of see this as a way of just giving a, you know, quick temperature reading of what's going on. If people want to come in and listen to it, that'd be great. I can't imagine that there's many come in and listen to it for other things apart from the fact that they know certain things are wrong, you know, certain lies in the world. Nevertheless, if someone does listen to this, and I mean, they have ideas on science and things like that, everybody's open to listening to, you know, any kind of, you know, conversation that, you know, like me and you having here about, you know, media and different things throughout history and stuff. But even the science part of things, you know, if you, it's not hard to get someone interested in something, especially if you're passionate about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's some damn. Well, I struggle a bit. I tend to lose people a bit, I find, but not always. You know, it's fine. But
yeah,
too much with people. You know,
You've not played music in a long, long time. You know, on and off a little bit here and there. But there was times when you'd spend a couple of hours playing, and I think it was great. And I'd go and check up on a few of the songs you did, check up on a few of the threads. Not just the music, you know, to do with, you know, prior history and stuff. Same in Rollo. And I think that's how you gleam information now, by finding out what two people agree on. Good afternoon, Ab.
Sorry to interrupt. It's always hard to get a word in edgewise with two leading fakeologists, but I thought I'd just barrel right through. How are you?
Two verbose fakeologists.
Yes.
Hi, Tim. Fakeologist man.
Hello.
Fakeologist man. Yes.
Hello. How you, man? When I sent a reply to Simon Shack after I made a small donation to keep Clues Forum going for another month, I said, Simon is the original fakeologist. I'm just a wannabe in his presence, of course.
I disagree with that.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, mate. I disagree with that. I love Simon's work, but I'm afraid you were my muse. So there you go.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. They got to be someone's muse or amusing too.
He had to bounce off you. You were sort of the everyman that he could relate to beyond Simon's sort of elusive Norwegian stroke. What's he stroking? Demeanor.
Simon is even, but, Simon's even elusive to me, actually. He's hard to get a hold of, and, that's all right. He probably wants to distance him. I think he wants to distance himself from my research, the current research. He probably doesn't.
Well, I can understand that.
Well, to each his own. I think I'm on the cutting edge myself, but that's fine. He doesn't think so.
Well, you might be on the cutting edge, but you've also letting a lot of chaff in my opinion.
Sure.
Respectfully.
That's fine.
You see what I mean? So, I mean, Clues always, as you well know, holds high standards or alludes to doing that, at least, of holding high standards.
And they're welcome to do it. They're welcome to do it. Yeah.
Just sort of stepping back from that part of it, and I could, yeah, perhaps. Yeah,
Julian, you want to say something?
Yeah, no, just, yeah, and I sort of had a little bit of a run-in with Pete Shea the other day.
I can't follow all the drama. There's a lot of drama going on.
Yeah, we've been having lovely conversations and different things, and sort of I was sort of a sounding board on certain subjects, and I can spot things a little bit like Tom, you know, so little numerology bits. But I sort of scoffed at reptilians, so he sort of fell out with me now.
Well, to be honest with you, and. I think reptilians is code for EGI. I honestly do, because what they're doing is they're taking a super class of people. And listen, I know someone personally, I won't say who, because they might not want to be revealed, close in my family circle, that has had IVF, which is in vitro fertilization. I know it works because I see the results firsthand. But you take it one step further, just one step further, and bombard those embryos with hormones. We don't know what you get because they won't tell us. They're not telling the truth. Yeah. So if they can create not even inverted, but something in between, I think that's the key. It's something in between. They can create them. If they can create this so-called super class of people, they give all the good jobs to in media. And in politics, and they're forever blackmailed. I think that's worthy of an investigation. Don't you?
I think if you've got a hot body, you'll get on the catwalk.
No, I don't think so. Because I don't think those Skeletors on the catwalk are hot in any way. They don't look like any women I've ever seen.
Hot is just a fashionable term. It's just a term, you know, people use it. It's hot. It's in fashion. It's like what's hot in the moment, you know. I just think if your body fit the bill, or if you had, I mean, I know people who've been in it. You're talking all catwalk models are fucking transgender. That's a ludicrous idea. Certainly, I think what you're saying is interesting. And the point about...
No, I'm not going to say all of them are. I know that's... I'm not going to say all of them are because I don't know all of them. You might know some real ones. But I can never... I would never say that. I'm going to say most of the top ones are probably promoted heavily.
Well, the top ones are all promoted heavily, but it doesn't make them transgender, does it?
Well, it doesn't make them transgender, but there's a good chance that many or most of them are. Because, again, I'm talking about creating a superclass of people. That's what I'm really talking about. And
well, we have had the number of number of presenters who were small with big heads. Now, I noticed that years ago. And then, you started mentioning it, and then you started seeing it on caricatures of people were doing with each other's heads. And that's with a big head. Now, that must be significant in something there. They fit well on telly. Maybe they've got the small man syndrome, which has made them have to push to the front to be the certain type of people. We don't know what causes these things, but it seems that there is characteristics that they actually utilize and put on telly. And if there's a characteristic where you look at someone and go, there's something about this person, I've no idea what it is, your eyes are transfixed. And that, in my opinion, is magic.
Well, I think if they put a normal person on telly, the head would look too small. Well, I think there's just a general...
No, but what I'm saying there is that whatever they're using, whatever kind of tricks they're using, it's magic, isn't it? Whether it's the people with the weird heads, people who look the same actors who could be the same bone structure over the years, there's something that actually draws your eyes to it, apart from the flickering screen.
No.
There's always something.
Yeah. Are you saying
hello,
that you...
want for truth? Is this hey, want?
Hey, what's going on, man? So wait, are you
want
saying
truth
that...
for now? I just want to introduce you properly because sometimes voices are.
Just call me Tal. It's fine.
Hi, Tal.
Hey, man. So wait. So you're trying to say that this is. I'm trying to evolve this conversation. So you're saying that the new superclass for people are going to be transgendered?
Yes, I'm saying transgender because that's really the only media promoted word we have right now. I think they are.
So I kind of, you realize that like all the Ivy League schools in the United States, it's all nepotism. If your parents went to school there, then you go to school there. I think there's already a class system like that already.
Of course. I'm not denying that. That doesn't mean there isn't another strata to the class system.
We know there's cronyism, don't we?
And I completely agree with Tom, because I know plenty of people that are models. When
are
I lived in New York, and none of them were, I mean, some of these people are just approached right on the street.
Are they supermodels?
I mean, no, they're not supermodels,
I'm really talking about the top.
I mean, I'm talking these people who walk top shows, but I guess they could be considered supermodels because they've walked Fashion Week and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know if that's, I mean, if you're talking about like a Naomi Campbell or someone like that, I mean.
Yeah, these are the people I study because these are the only
people
that are.
Generally.
Yeah,
I think another strata, perhaps, of disinformation, like the lizard one. You're just trying or Dallas Goldbugs. Everyone's a double.
Yeah,
no.
You know, it really does seem that silly.
No.
I wish because there is a serious point in there that there could be transgender people in the public eye, very high profile ones that we don't know about. I'm sure. In fact, it's gone on for a long time.
Okay, yeah.
But thinking, you know, this is, but that takes away by this proliferation of spurious accusations, it seems to me, all the Rolling Stones, for example, and George Carlin.
I never said all the Rolling Stones.
No, you didn't, but the thread is, Unreal is saying these things, and he's putting forward a Jungle Surfer as being a sort of like, you know, a serious researcher. It's not a serious thread, man. If you come from like looking at sort of serious analysis, like Clues Forum, you mentioned earlier, perhaps, more serious analysis, perhaps, I don't think you can see it as credible. It seems like a definite program of disinformation.
I agree.
That's been pushed this year. Agreed. To me. Thank you, Tal. I, well, you know.
Well, that's fine. This is a, This is a tough one to crack. This is not easy. This is a very difficult subject.
I feel like it's more your thing, Ab, don't you think? I think it's more something you're going through and something that, I mean, I don't know, because other people, I think, like Tom said, it's kind of, and to me, it just seems like disinformation.
I think it's the start of the destruction of the family.
I don't understand how this is a destruction of a family.
Because you're going to start, literally, well, John Le Bon said it a month or so back. You're going to have people going, oh, really? Going back through history. What people used to marry the opposite sex? Oh my God. It's going to destroy families. People need to have children. I'm not calling anyone homosexual. And what I'm saying is, people who are homosexual are homosexual. And people who want to have kids want to have kids. The gray area you're talking about isn't as gray as you think.
I don't know.
I don't mean it in a bad way. I'm just saying that, you know, if you want to have children, you can have children.
I think it's one of a million things that seem to be anti-family right now. I don't think it's the only thing. I think it's one thing. And yeah, Tal, you said this is my thing. Yeah, of course it's my thing.
Well, you know, here's something.
This is my site.
It's your site. Yeah. Respect for that. You know, I do respect that. And I haven't gone on Unreal's thread and trying to diss it all the time. I just have to, in a world of disinformation and honesty and duplicity, I just feel I have to speak my mind, Tim. I hope you understand that.
Can I ask a question to you, Ab? So, can I ask you a question?
Okay, Tom. Yeah, Tom, I take your point. That's fine. No disrespect taken. Go ahead, Tal.
So, just from a perspective, you come from kind of like, right-wing kind of mentality before you kind of got into the theology world, right?
Yes, that is a true statement.
Okay, that explains a little bit. So, at least to me. I mean, it makes sense more to me. So,
yeah.
But anyways, when I think of right-wing people, I think of them as being very about freedom. They want to be free. They don't want to be watched. They don't want the government interfering. I feel like they're generally want freedom. Is that kind of how you are? Do you think that you want freedom?
Explain the word freedom.
Freedom from what? I'm in shackles 7 days a week, my friend.
Well, obviously. I mean, free from the being oppressed from the government, being free of, I mean, I guess transgenders or whatever you want to be free of, right?
No. I'm more of a libertarian. I like the word liberal, the classical definition of liberal before it was hijacked into.
So what does libertarian mean to you?
It just means more independent people that just can operate with fewer regulations. But see, I'm also not against government either, but I'm against government out of control. You see, it's really hard to pigeonhole people politically, and I think it's ridiculous when we...
Oh, I'm not trying to pigeonhole you. What I'm trying to ask you is, if you believe in independence and you believe in not having that control, then what would be more freedom and less more independent than somebody that's actually expressing their sexuality, whether that is transgendered or not?
Well... Nothing, and I'm not against one expressing their sexuality, to be honest with you. I'm more interested in the exception angle of transgender. I've tried to make that very clear early on.
I bet you don't condone it, though.
Condone what? Condone experimenting on children?
I'm using your words. You said you don't condone it.
I don't promote or condone child abuse, and I think anyone that experiments or administers hormones to a zygote all the way to someone 18, that's child abuse because it's against, no child can make that decision on their own. And if an adult does it for them, that's a form of abuse. If an 18-year-old wants to go ahead, I consider 18 the normal accepted, the widely accepted age of consent for adulthood, armyhood, maybe not sexualhood, but if you want to just a number between 16 and 18, I think that's a fair number for most people. I think if anything you do to a child before that is a form of abuse if you are experimenting with hormones on their body. I just think it's wrong. Even vaccination, I'll go as far as saying, is necessarily maybe a form of abuse as well.
Right. Yeah, and honestly, Ab, I don't have a strong opinion about that. So
that's all right. You don't have to.
You know, I have a strong opinion in the sense that I accept people for who they are. And I think that
I do too. I do too. Yeah. And I'm not really here to interfere. I think the best way to get rid of, I've said facetiously, the best way to get rid of homosexual marriages is to allow it. Because once they get married and see what it's all about, they're gonna stay single as much as possible. So I think that's another real red herring for most people.
You know what's so funny, Ab? You know, I had a gay married couple of mine of over 20 years. Obviously they got married a few years ago when California legalized it. And they invited me. They said, hey, do you guys want to go down to the beach for the 4th of July? And then we'll have a cookout at our place. I'm like, sure. And so we headed down there and we headed to the beach. I'm like, oh, there's like a lot of gay people here. And the next thing I know, everyone's in Speedos and shit. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was expecting to see you there, Ab.
Well, I've already been to the West Coast, not of California. I'm not quite sure where you're going with that. I think you're making it funny.
What I'm saying, man, is like, I don't know anyone that obsesses more about sexuality than people who generally are gay, you know? Like, generally that's like a...
I know, you keep saying that. I think it's an old canard that you can
well, man,
stop
you know
trying
more
to...
things about gay stuff than I know as a gay man.
I really don't. I'm investigating
quotes around me being a homo, quote unquote homosexual. I mean, I never said that.
I never
you posted
called
it
you
on
that.
Your wall, man. You posted it on your page. You totally did that.
Oh, did I? Where?
Yeah, you did. A few other people caught on your thing.
Where is it? Where is it?
Reached out
Where
to
is
me
it?
Through Discord.
Where is it?
I think in a way you did ask for it a bit by putting is. When Tal came on, you said Tal says he is, in quotes, a homosexual.
Okay.
So, you know, you were questioning, you know, you put the in quotes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, sure. You know, a few people, other than people that are in this conversation right now, I mean, other people on this Discord thing have contacted me privately and said that they didn't agree with that. So
okay, I can remove it. I'm just saying, man.
You know, so I was like, oh, and it made me feel good because yeah. I was like, well, I'm glad when someone's treating me like that. At least there are people in your community that would speak up and say, hey, that's pretty messed up that someone would do that. You know?
Yeah, but you're comfortable talking to him. He welcomes you on here to talk, and he's talking to you in a very civil manner.
Man,
so you know that we're all right, aren't we? Sort of thing. So that kind of proves a point.
You're
in
listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat. On fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Tal, Tim. I thought, as you know, my opinion on these things. I think your sexuality is something that it can be either, you know, can be either way. It's not so very common in one way than the other, and that's the more way that's led to more reproduction. But I don't know. I mean, is that just conditioning?
I think it's down to leisure time myself. I treat homosexuals just like fishermen or people who go caravan at the weekend. It's just something that I don't do. There you go.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, I don't want to keep on coming on here, and I don't really want to be talking about sexuality and stuff like that. I mean, that's great. You guys want to have that conversation, and maybe I shouldn't be part of it.
No, Tal, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying it's not the type of thing that I do. You know, I wouldn't talk about caravanning. I wouldn't talk about fishing because I don't know anything about it. And I just treat you like that. Something that I don't know about.
And, you know, Ab, last time I was here, I did speak with Tom and Napoleon. And, you know, I was doing some research because I just I had saw this article about one of the past presidents and how 33 weeks and 3 days after he was in office, he experienced a depression, right? An economic depression. So I was like, oh, you know, well, you know, how many days is 3 weeks, 33 weeks in 3 days? It's 234 days, 234. So I looked at what Trump's day he was inaugurated, which is the 20th of January, and 33 weeks and 3 days after January 20th is September 11th. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Tal, you're all over the place with your conversation. I mean, I tell you, I don't know where to begin with you sometimes, but I don't consider EGI, I don't think it has anything to do with homosexuality, and if I placed... If I wrote something that offended you, I can easily take it down if it disturbs you. But really,
and
my
man,
investigation—it's
been up for long
nothing.
Enough. It's whatever, you know.
Okay, well, whatever. I can remove it. I can add. But my fascination with EGI is only from a deception angle. And again, I don't know if I'm totally right or half right or a quarter right or unreal is any bit right, more right.
I'm
interested with it about it, and that's why I had. Ice roof, ice cold roof, or Miss Roof, I can't remember her name now, on, because I...
Dudette. That was my
best
name.
Dudette. That reminds me of Babette. Remember we had Babette a couple of years ago? Babette? She was another...
Yeah, she had a go. Yeah, Babette, Dudette. Yeah, bring them on. Yeah.
Yeah, we had another strain, and they all... Then Dudette seems like a very intelligent woman. I haven't gone through most of her channel, but I'm going to try and look into it. But she's another very interesting person who, wow, she has a lot of really good insight. And maybe all these people are disinfo, and maybe they're all wrong. I don't think so. There's so many people that sense something's wrong with many of the promoted individuals in our media, and we don't know what it is, but we all sense it. We all know something is wrong with Suzanne Somers. There's something off about that person.
She's and got a sausage in her pocket.
Who's Suzanne Somers?
Did you ever watch Three's Company? These are all shows I grew up on. I'm a 70s
no.
boy.
Bill, I was a Bill Cole man.
You were what?
Bilko, Sergeant Bilko. What? That was about the as American as I got.
Oh, I don't know who that is. I wasn't actually even allowed to watch Three's Company when I was growing up. That was my friends watched it and they talked about it, and I had to sort of try and watch it covertly, I guess, to try and figure out what they were talking about.
Low forehead, widow's peak, cute set of balls.
Well, did you see the recent picture of that individual today? It's quite disturbing, to be honest. It could be just a woman that's had numerous plastic surgeries to really distort her look, but there's certain things that don't change with plastic surgery beyond the face that we're most interested in and are most disturbing. So that's my angle, Tal and Napoleon and Tom, and that's the angle that I like to pursue right now. And strangely enough, there's a lot of people that have the same interest in this research, and we discover them daily. They all may be from the military, but I sort of doubt it. But there will be individuals that are from the military that are interfering with the research. I'll grant you that.
Well, I think you're in agreement with me, aren't you, that America's pretty much a TV screen that's been projected for the rest of the world, and the people in America are viewing it from the inside. And
I think Americans are the most psychologically operated on people in the world. I've even posted in the past about the Great American PSYOP, which is... Yeah, that is where the TV guards America's view of the outside world and gives them a completely distorted view of their own world, thinking they're the greatest in the world. And I just heard a guy on a regular podcast today who was an American, really didn't know much about the outside world, was very involved in politics and influence in where he was living in Arizona. And he has no idea about Canada because, of course, our media does not penetrate their media. And he just is totally oblivious to the rest of the world. And that just proves that Americans are the most psychologically operated on people in the world. They just have no idea. They think they're living in the greatest place on the earth. And they think if they don't stop spending 60% of all their money on the military, that they will be attacked at any moment. And they think they're doing great good spreading this safety around the world by invading and occupying almost every country on the planet.
I think that's more of a conservative American point of view of what, is what you're talking about.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
For sure.
So you're very...
Well, I'll tell you what, they're actually destructing themselves because at an early age, they give the kids driver's licenses. People are told to get out there and travel, you know, instead of staying at home. When I say staying at home, I mean, staying around people, working things up. You've had the dream pushed down your head. Way out west, travel from one side of the country, the gold rush. Then you have the leave a small town and go to the big city. And, you know, you've had it worse in America. So them stories didn't hit over here. Literally, anyone in America now who is American has been brainwashed for the past 200 years, man. And you're not going to, an American's not going to admit to that.
And Napoleon, I'm pretty sure anyone that since the printing press has been getting brainwashed with propaganda.
Yeah, definitely. But your story is different. This is the one that we're getting.
I guess I live here, so I can see Ab's point of view. I mean, I also lived pretty close to Canada, so I think of places like Toronto as being just upstate New York. So I don't particularly think of it as another country sometimes, I guess.
Toronto and upstate New York are... It's amazing the difference when I cross the border. It's amazing. It's fascinating. It's so close, yet it's a million miles away in reality.
I've been to Montreal, Toronto, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island.
Yeah.
that area and stuff like that. So I just haven't been to the West Coast of Canada. But I don't know. I mean, I also lived in Arizona for a while, so I guess I know kind of. I hate to generalize stuff, but
people. Well, you might be a more worldly American. You might be more worldly. You might be a poor example of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. You see, the thing is, like, when you said, because I completely, what you said about spending 60% of our taxes go to the military and things like that, I'm right there with you. I'm like, why don't people want to, like, spend less money on that? And I think there is a lot of talk about that, and I think the talk is political, and the politics of that are generally people like Bernie Sanders and that kind of people who were the people who talked about single pay or universal health care. And spending less money on the military. And the talking points, obviously.
I've got to interrupt here. And I'm going to interrupt. The only reason being is because I can tell you exactly what Israel is. Now, Ab's already explained why Israel is literally get funding from one government to another. And that is basically what it is. But in the real world, at the basic level, you know, you have the neighbors that everybody wants to keep up with. Well, that's what Israel is. And it's in the middle of a fucking turmoil, a massive fucking arms race, and everyone's looking at Israel and they're getting all the new weapons. So Israel are the neighbors that always get the weapons, and where do they get them? From where Ab says, from America there. It's all that's just another window shopping, just a window. Israel, obviously, people count with the Jews, and the Jews, we know, that's just another hoax. There's lots going on behind the scenes, and unless you're willing to really look into this, you know, you're not going to get any further. You're going to keep banging your head against things and literally tell you, you're talking about government spending money on war and stuff like that. Taxes are stolen from the American people on a daily basis. They have to, because otherwise people would accumulate wealth.
What I was saying was that there was an entire political movement that they shut down that was towards spending less money in the military and giving things back to the people.
And you shouldn't have a military. Just have a look at what your military's doing.
I'm sorry, what was that?
What your military's doing.
It would be very hard for the majority of Americans to bite the hand that feeds them. If 60% of the taxes are spent on military corporations, then you'd be complaining
that you've got to tend the farm that you're working on, because the farm's paying your wage, and then you're complaining about working on it. No, you're in America there, you're part of the system.
You'd be asking for people to vote against their own company that's paying them.
Yep.
That's not going to happen. Of course it's not. Let's see, I want to vote that my company shuts down and I lose my job and my livelihood so we can stop spreading and manufacturing weapons, for the most part, that never get used.
But start firing the Jews. No, I'm only joking. No, you're right.
Yeah.
How
are you going to get that? That's never going to happen. It's another perfect system. Not going to be destroyed in any way.
No, you're not going to. People won't say that, but you will get the mutterings of people saying, well, you know, if we did do this, if we did do that. You're allowed to speak your voice because this is your channel and you're in Canada. And speak that way about Canada. You say, well, we're paying taxes here. You've spoke to, I think it was Bing on, lots of your guests anyway, you spoke about different tax codes and stuff and, you know, comparing them to America. So you obviously know that the taxing systems, is theft. But you can't,
pretty much the same.
You can't condone it and then try and explain, everybody else is at fault. No, if you're going to stop things, then you say, right, get rid of the military because the military is funded by money that we give. No, you can't have it both ways. So if you're part of it, get on board, like I say, stiff up a lip and all that. But if you're not part of it, then, you know, you can literally speak your mind, which is what I'm doing. I'm against most things now. And I think this website is perfect for that. I'm just going to mute.
I think Ab brought something up that was really valid when he said that the American PSYOP and how they've obviously focused here in the United States about that. I think that's probably a really fair thing, especially since Hollywood's based in California. The United States. I mean, it makes sense, a lot of what you say.
Thank you.
I think at the end of the day, it's like, I think I think the military is in complete control of, I can't say it for sure, but I think they're in full control of the media. I think they're in full control of everything, probably.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't know how else that they, I mean, they don't even take care. I mean, we have a supposedly, I mean, every time I go to the grocery store, there's someone outside begging for money for the veterans, the homeless veterans. And that, I mean, you drive on the highway and there's homeless veterans, things for it all over the place. And it's like these people supposedly, you know, I mean, they went to war supposedly and they, their time, and there's not even any safety nets for those people at all. Or you do your service and then government's like, screw you. You deal with it. No, you deal with the postpartum depression. I mean, not postpartum. What is it? The traumatic, post-traumatic stress.
Post-traumatic, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, I obviously, there's not even a safety net for that stuff. There's not even a safety net. Like, we don't get any vacation. You get no vacation. Legally, in California, for example, is one of the only states where you get 3 days. Your employer has to pay, whether, regardless of who you are, you have to pay you 3 days of sick days. Other than that, you don't even get sick days. Like, it's not, it's, I mean, there's plenty of things I tell you how horrible this country is. I mean, I'd say it in a minute, you know, and, but there, I mean, there are things I do like about it, of course, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think everyone recognizes these are the problems and everything else, but generally the people who stop this from going through, generally it's playing both sides together. You know, I think more liberals in the country want, generally they want universal health care. They want, you know, time for the mom to spend with their child, that kind of stuff. And the conservative party is they want to make sure that you don't have that. You have to pay for yourself. They don't want to pay for other people. And I mean, it's really far right. And to them, they think that the liberal party is really far left. And really, I think the liberal parties in the United States are pretty middle conservative to places like Canada, where your conservative parties in Canada, I imagine, are probably much more liberal than our Democratic Party here in the United States. You know, I mean, you can tell me, I don't know, but
yeah, I think that's fair. I agree with that.
So
I think all governments always move to the center anyway. I think that
they move to the center right here. They move very, I mean, as much as something seems socially very liberal, I think for the most part, things are really conservative.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, because you guys can't get away with the military in any way. It just drives your economy. It would be economic suicide for anyone to espouse a different view. It just isn't going to happen.
Well, this is what me and Tom were discussing earlier. We have now a militaristic brain, and it's been put into the system, whether it's schooling, TV, dog eat dog world, rise to the top, all these different things, sports events. You can be captain of the team. You can be the team leader. We are militaristic. This is literally a war. I'm going to use the word correctly now. Plain.
War economy. Yeah.
But isn't Canada and the UK and Australia, I mean, they all are fighting with the United States with all this stuff. So, I mean.
Oh, we hardly give anybody. We give a few planes, send a few hundred guys. They have nothing else to do anyway. How do I know? Well, I only know what they tell me. And
right.
Before we had a conservative, quote unquote conservative government 10 years ago, we've always had a liberal, quote unquote government on the left. And they were always pilloried for not making any kind of military contribution under the first Trudeau. We're on our second Trudeau now, our little bit of royalty running the show. And our contribution's always been very, very limited. We've always been attacked for not doing our part. So I think now we just do tokenism anyway, but
I'm pretty sure percentage-wise, like, the United States does more business with Canada than any other country.
We do more business with who?
Canada than any other country.
Yeah, there's a lot of trade. I think of Mexico just past Canada, just very, very recently, because of all the branch plants that they've put over the border from Texas. Most of the car companies are now in the what's called the Maquiladora zone, which is a free trade zone, which is now just part of NAFTA anyway, on the Texas border across from Laredo. So that, I think you guys, I think Mexico just passed us, and that's just because of all the plants that have moved south, because Mexicans work, I believe, at a 1/10 the labor rate as most of the North Canadians and Americans. So as you know, Tal, 95% of our population is within 10 miles of the United States border. So we are, for all intents and purposes, perfectly integrated. And if you look at America2050.com, you'll see that they've already divided North America up in between mega regions. So that day is coming when they just eliminate the border.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, they could also get rid of the U.S. currency and bring in a new currency, you know?
Remember, the borders aren't real. So what you do is you bring in foreigners, and then that way that disintegrates the borders in your head, because borders aren't real anyway. So you bring in people from another country, and then you don't have borders.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
It works.
And then there's no countries.
I mean, I'd be honest
with
you.
That's an anthem for the...
I'm one of the few people that actually, even in my office, there's like, I would say 3/4 of the office isn't even from the United States.
Oh yeah?
Literally, they're from everywhere. I mean, even Vidir, you know, she's from Canada originally. And,
yeah, that foreigner Canadian.
I know. Oh, she's the second Canadian. I have another Canadian that's in the office right now coming from Toronto, flies in once a month.
Oh wow.
You know, and we just had somebody else that was from Canada too, but she left and she's working in Kansas now. And I mean, I have a lot of people from India and China and Japan, and I mean, everyone's from somewhere, you know. So,
sure.
You know, it's just I mean, even where I live, I'm one of the few Americans that even live where I live. You know, it's like
yeah,
somewhere else. So, I mean, if you look at the population, the United States increased since. Since 1990, the population increased by 100 million people. It's like 1/3 of our population, you know?
The population numbers are very suspicious for the most part to me, even in Canada now. But
I can tell you since I've been here, I mean, there's clearly been a lot of immigration.
Well, I know, but they don't want to be there, Tom. That's the difference. There's people chasing jobs and having to work. They don't want to be there.
I don't know.
What do you mean they don't want to be? They want to be here for work. I don't understand what you mean. But.
No, a lot of people who travel for other reasons, not because they want to leave home, you know, because they want to see the world, and because they travel because of, you know, money, the money. That's
economic immigration. Most immigration is for economic reasons. I just posted a pretty good documentary.
It's the universal language app.
Yeah,
so it's the easiest way of doing it. You have a universal rule across the plane, the globe, yeah, whatever it is.
Well,
and
that's
what you do.
Why money and central banks are they run the world.
That's why when they say a one world currency.
Well, you know,
it's coming. It is so funny. We've had a one world currency for about 150 years.
Well, yeah, you have a central bank that goes through BIS in Switzerland. That's the master central bank. That's it. It doesn't matter what the name of the currency is.
No.
Everything goes through Switzerland. And by the way, did you know Switzerland is only one of two countries that has a square flag? One of my junior fakeologists pointed that out to me. I thought that was interesting. What does it mean? I don't know.
And we got Scotland is the other one, is it?
No. I don't know about Scotland. You know the other...
No, Scotland is a cross, sorry.
No, the flag is actually a square.
Yeah, it's square.
A rectangle. Did you know what the other one was?
I'm going to say the Vatican City. I'm unsure.
The United States.
You're right. No, you're right. You got it, Napoleon. The Vatican has a square flag. What does that mean?
There you go. Yeah, well, that was off the top of my head, mate.
Yeah, very good.
Top of your head, the brain Vatican. We were talking about that the other day, weren't we? We were talking about that. It's got the pineal courtyard.
Let's not mention Brain Tats because it's ruining all my favorite shows. So come on, let's move on.
Brain Artica, yeah. Who coined that?
That's me. Oh. That's Brain Tats. I'm coming up with everything. Believe it or not,
it's in your eye.
What's that? What's that, Tom?
All this Brain Tartica stuff getting in your head, as I said, you know, or getting in your third eye, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. They were just imagery. They don't put it out for no reason, do they?
Hey, do you guys know Cliff High?
High. The high bot that was recognizing trends on the internet and stuff and seeing what was going to be the next there.
Antarctica too.
Yeah, the Vatican. That's interesting, that, isn't it? That they've got a square flag and Switzerland has as well. Mm. Red Cross. Yeah,
I wonder what that means. Switzerland Switzerland is a very, very unknown country. It's very mysterious, I think. Most of the world knows nothing about it.
I've been skiing there. It's great. Lovely.
I don't.
Having the mountains.
I don't. I think they're like Dubai, in that they don't allow people to become Swiss citizens. It's another country that you can work there, but you can never become a citizen. What does that mean?
Exclusive.
Yeah.
Elitist.
Well, there's something about that. There must be a reason.
How do you know that?
They keep the money. Oh, it's in Switzerland. I've got the Red Cross as well, which is like this great benevolent organization that we're told.
Yeah. Well, their flag is the inverse of the Red Cross.
That's quirky, isn't it? So they come from Switzerland and their flag is the inverse of their other one. I wonder if the Red Cross flag is square. Perhaps it is.
I don't know. Well, the Red Cross is not a country, but...
No, no, but it'd just be a parallel, wouldn't it? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think Switzerland's the only one still doing quantitative easing, right? And the EU.
I don't know.
Right?
I have no idea. I don't even know. What is Switzerland's role in the EU? You just don't hear about them. I don't even know.
The last I read, they were the ones that were putting money into... They were the ones that were... I don't know. They were doing something with the EU.
Switzerland, if I'm sending a parcel from England, if I'm in the EU... I have to send it airmail and special sort of delivery. I have to put a customs sticker on it. There are various ones. There's a couple that are still, if I send it to Russia, it'd be the same, I think. And where else? There's a couple of ones. The ridiculous thing is I've sent a load of parcels for my friend and I can't remember. But there's a couple of exclusive ones. But generally, you don't have to put any customs on it. Obviously, if you're sending to the States and Canada, you would, and Japan, Australia. But there's a couple in Europe. Switzerland would be one of them. It's exclusive in that nature. When Britain goes independent, as they seem to be with this Brexit thing, then they'd be out exclusive then themselves as well from that EU sort of trade thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, can I ask a question to all you guys? I, in February, I went to Uruguay and I ended up meeting like this guy or whatever. He was like a diplomat or something that represented Uruguay or whatever. And he just, you know, gave us a tour of the city of Montevideo and was just telling us stuff. And there was like a lot of homeless people around. And like,
how did you bump into the
Let me just finish what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is like there was a lot of illegal immigrants there from Central America. And I know the United States has illegal immigration issues. Does Canada have illegal immigration issues? Do you guys notice it? And do you guys notice it in the UK? Because my sister was in Torino for a year, or Turin, in Italy, and she comments on how there was like a lot of illegal immigrants there too. Just curious, like if you guys know.
No,
sorry.
In Canada, and I have 5 more minutes, and I got to go. But no, it's definitely not an issue here at all. It's not an issue here. It's hard to get here. Most people fly into here. And I think the airlines now have so many rules that if they bring someone in that doesn't belong, they get the bill and they're very careful now. But no, we don't have a porous border. Our borders with the United States, that's our land border. We have no other land borders. And no American is trying to break into Canada. I can assure you of that. So, if they can get over the Mexican border, they're not coming here. I guarantee you that. We bring in Mexicans to do our farming, and most of them will not stay the winter. They can't wait to get the hell back to Mexico when the snow comes. So there's no issue there. I think they line up to go back when they're done, and they do jobs farming our farming. They pick our tobacco, they pick our fruit, they harvest our wheat, they do everything. And they're fantastic.
So do you think that from the American news point of view, they make it seem as though Europe, and that's one of the major reasons why Britain is moving away from the EU, and other countries the same thing, is because of the illegal immigration. And I'm just curious if...
I'm going to give my opinion on that before I go. I think Europe would collapse without all the immigrants doing the crappy jobs. I really do. I think Europe, Western Europe, Canada, they're all on the verge of collapse because of the declining birth rate. And I don't know. I think robots are taking over most of the jobs over the next 100 years. It's not going to be a big problem. But in the meantime, we don't have a robot that cleans the toilets or serves the McFries right now, although there are pizzerias that are totally automated, I've heard. But right now, we need people to do the shitty jobs, and that's why they bring in the desperate people, and they do those jobs. If you go look at American Baghdad that Chris posted from OaksBustersCall.com, it's a pretty good short film about very highly qualified Iraqis that were basically displaced by America and brought over here quite willingly, quite happily. And they are now cleaning toilets in your Holiday Inn Expresses. And they don't like it, and they would go back to Iraq in 1 hour if Iraq could be put back together, which it won't.
Precisely.
And it's fascinating. I think the European displacement, all these people are brought over on purpose because there aren't youthful Italians, youthful French. There's the whole population is collapsing because of the birth rate. It's just so low right now. It's a big problem.
And also through computers being installed, we've got an increase in shitty jobs.
You'll have a job stopping people fucking.
That's a job in itself, Tom.
I was in Italy.
Yeah, imagine that job. Imagine if they said, right, going to get somebody, this is a new job. You've got to stop people having sex. Yes, and you have to go around and sort of put a stick in the way of them or something, you know?
Oh, maybe come up with a cry.
I'm sorry, I'm tired. Sorry. I want to say, while I'm still awake, cheers, Tim. Nice to speak to you. And,
all right, nice talking to you.
I've got to go. It's late. I was up a tree today, and I've been a bit of a weird mood. So, but cheers, everyone. Yeah.
Cheers, man. Have a good night.
Take care, Tom. Good night, mate.
Off. Cheers, then. Bye.
All right. Tal, sorry, one more quick comment, Tal?
No, I mean, I just, you know, I think about some of the things that you've said, and you know, you said a lot, but you know, I don't know if I could fully agree with. I mean, I could see it from a Canadian standpoint, that being true, but obviously, I live in the United States, and then I was in Italy and Uruguay, and there was illegal immigration issues, and there was a lot of young people who are unemployed, so who would do any job, I think, just to work, and I don't know. It was kind of crazy, man. You know, I mean, I was going to Pompeii, and I mean, this kid approached us to try to sell us socks, you know, and when he smiled, he had like barely any teeth. And I mean, if he didn't, he looked, I was like, oh, you know, he was probably
a Roma.
Probably 30.
He was probably a Roma.
He asked us how old we were, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like 30 and, you know, and everything else. And then the guy, he's 21 years old, man. He looked
Could
like
he have
was
been a Roma?
Baby.
Could he have been a Roma? There's a lot of.
No, he was. We took local trains. We took three local trains to get to Pompeii. So
I doubt he was an Italian, though.
What did you think of Pompeii?
It was cool. It was cool. It was cool. I guess I'd go back again. I mean, I didn't get enough time to check it all out, but it was all right. It's kind of a sad place. Like, you know, I think I went to Pompeii. I always wanted to go to Pompeii my whole life. And you just go there and you can still smell the smoke and you see the bodies too. It's just, it's really, you just like, you know, some really horrific thing happened there and you can just feel the energy when you walk in. That's all at least I felt. It was very.
I've got a question for you, Tal.
Yeah.
Do you smoke?
I do not smoke.
Have you ever been intimate with someone who smokes?
No.
Right, well, sometimes when you get intimate with someone who smokes, you sort of have a cigarette afterwards. And sometimes if a little bit of ash falls, then you sort of shift, so you might move out of position. Why did these people stay in position during sex?
I'm sorry, who was staying position? I didn't see anyone that was having sex in the bodies.
I mean with the, you know, the whole explosions and, you know, the bodies and everything like that, everything was frozen in time. That's almost akin to the nuclear blast that we got in Hiroshima. If you look at things.
I mean, their explanation was a heat wave, like, I guess, hit them and fried them, and then a ash fire thing covered them all over, you know, and they were basically burned to death.
That's why I always think about these things that we get shown. Like, you can take trips around Hiroshima now, can't you? And, I mean, I'm really skeptical about nuclear weapons, I'll be dead honest. But nevertheless, it is very similar to, you know, was it Mount Vesuvius?
Yeah, Mount Vesuvius. Easy for you to get there too. I mean, you just fly to Rome, and you know,
tell me about your experience when you got there. How long was you in the place?
We spent the day there at Christmas time, the day before Christmas, and it was I don't know how to describe it. I told you, like, I was actually pissed with my sister because I was like, she just wanted to take pictures. She wanted like selfies and shit. And I was like, I just didn't think it was appropriate because we were, of course, we looked like we were the American, even though she was living in Italy for a year. And she's totally not a typical, she's very respectful, very smart girl. But you know, she was 20 years old, you know, what are you going to do? But she wanted to take like selfies and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? Like, it just didn't feel right. It just has like a thing where you just feel like you can just feel the energy, like something really bad happened here. I don't know how to describe it other than that. Like, it clearly was covered in ash at some time. I mean, it still smells like ash.
Oh yes. Yeah. Definitely. It doesn't look like anywhere I've seen on the planet. Anyway, really doesn't.
And the bodies though, they have like, so they have a, they have like a Colosseum, similar, but it's not, they have a Colosseum, but it's much smaller. It's not as big as the one in Rome. And when you walk into it, you walk down this long corridor and then you turn the corner and in the middle of it is a pyramid. And in the middle of this wooden pyramid, you walk in, that's where they have all the bodies, a bunch of the bodies of people who were killed in it and just obviously plastered or whatever that way and stuff. And, I don't know. It's a very, and then you walk around and it's just interesting to see.
Did it look like, well, I mean, we know that, whether or not things happen for real or not, for argument's sake, Michael J. Fox, Parkinson's disease, is making a show. He's been making it for a number of years now, where he's had to pretend he's still got it on certain occasions when he's not, you know, when he's not actually shaking as much. Do you think that the people who were putting together these attractions maybe could have, you know, gone back and, you know, reconfigured some of the bodies that they found just to make them look a bit more realistic? Or do you think everything is as it was?
You know, obviously everything is possible. I always recognize that, but I definitely felt as though it felt like
something had happened there.
You can just feel it. It's just, you know, we all have human intuition. You can just feel it. Like, you just can feel like something, and you can smell it, man. It's weird. It's just weird. And you walk and it's preserved and you just, I don't know. I default that it definitely did happen. I mean, I recognize, you know, obviously they can.
No, forget my point of view. All I'm doing there is asking you to. Yeah. Give the most objective thing that you could find, and obviously you just said, yeah, definitely something happened. You know, which I think is fair enough. You can say that about a lot of these places where there's been, you know, like, I mean, obviously Hiroshima, it wasn't just a hoax. There was lots of dynamite dropped on there. Whether or not nuclear weapons are real, there was some sort of explosion. Same with Nagasaki. Same with Dresden. A lot done. Same with the Blitz in London. But nevertheless, no, I agree a whole lot. It's like if you've got an old person in a house, as soon as they move, the house literally becomes decrepit. Something goes on. I do believe there's a resonance to people being there and then all of a sudden not being.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, the thing too about when I was in Italy for Christmas time, I mean, the air quality was really, really bad. And I live in Southern California, you know, we're always known to have bad air quality or whatever. It was 1,000 times way worse than it is in California. And, in fact, it was so bad, they actually told people they weren't allowed to drive. This is like 2015. And the northern part of Italy, I guess, is pretty polluted and stuff, but and you can definitely smell it. It just smells disgusting. I guess the whole country just smells, man. I mean, this is another thing that blew my mind. We took a train. We took a lot of trains, obviously, but to get to Pompeii, you have to take, like, we took one train to like this other train, and then we took another train that went through another thing because we went around. We didn't go through Naples there. We went through Naples on the way back, so we went around the other way, I guess, around Mount Vesuvius or whatever. And so we're out in the middle of nowhere and stuff like that. And we were in the train and I went to go use the bathroom and I'm like, you guys got to go check out the bathroom. And when you go to the bathroom, like, literally, if you're going to take a shit or a piss, it goes right on the train tracks.
And I was like, how is this a developed country? Eighth largest economy in the world and people are shitting on train tracks? You know, and this is where, I mean, I thought that blew my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty much disgusting once you get to Europe, mate. I'm in England, so everything's lovely. You know, oh, yeah, Europe's not the best, pal.
I'm sure Ab, I mean, obviously, you know, a Canadian from Toronto coming to New York, probably you can see that New York's a lot dirtier than it is in Canada, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of like pretty easy to, for someone to say, you know?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the time, and I mean, I can't really vote for the European trains, but I can tell you that European hotels have thinner piping in the plumbing system. So they use the, put the paper in a bin next to you. Routine.
Yeah.
You know, instead of flushing large things down the toilet. Anyway, let's digress because that is, you know, you think we're going to the potty mouth there. So come on then. What happened then, right? You seen that. You came away from that. You had these feelings of it now. Now that you've looked into it, right? And you can look into the models now because Delcroix has put some pictures on the live stream there. You can see that on second reflection, these seem to be artist models that have been made. Now, I'm not saying nothing happened there, but these, you know, these are literally reenactments. And seeing as we know that's happened in World War One, World War Two, Korean War, every war going, they've reenacted every kind of event. I think the only one we've not had this is Titanic, but we've had many paintings from that. This cannot be real now in my eyes. Bodies would fall apart. There would be degradation. You'd have vandalism.
So I don't know about these photos or whatever, but the ones that I have, you can see the bones of the people. So, I mean, these people, you can see the bones and stuff. So.
You don't need to throw one up. When you get a chance and you get in your computer, next day or so, throw one up so I can have a look. Oh, send it, man. That'd be even better. Yeah. No, but what I mean is, literally they made a tourist attraction out of a horrible event.
Well, if you do go there and you do go to the train stop, they have an awesome, I don't even know what the hell it was called, but it's like fried dough with like basically pasta sauce and cheese in it. And it's freaking bomb, man. So that was definitely a cool thing.
Cool.
Yeah. And I actually, my favorite part.
Did you develop a taste for wine?
Oh, I've always liked wine. I grew up with wine, so I'm originally Italian American. So,
So you actually did grow up with wine.
Yes, and my favorite city when I went to Italy, we went to Turin was a pretty cool city too, but Venice was pretty sick. I thought Venice at Christmas time was definitely something to see. So I didn't see these things that Dell's posting right there. Mine were. I just don't have to describe it, man.
Don't worry, man. You can't have fun. Yeah, but the funny thing is they always make an extravaganza out of something that supposedly happened. I throw that in word in willy-nilly, and I shouldn't do it. Something that they claim has happened.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do think that, you know, the sort of, they're packing the truth a little bit too much.
I think before anyone jumps to any conclusions, I think it's probably good that people do their own personal research and other than Google and probably go there themselves and see it, because I think seeing things firsthand sometimes obviously we can be easily deceived even in person, but I think sometimes when you have like human intuition on stuff, like you can kind of feel.
No, it doesn't sound to me like a whole town can be frozen in ash. That sounds preposterous to me.
Well, considering there's an active volcano there and there's a bunch of them in Italy, I mean, it's not very far-fetched that something like that could easily happen, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't even think we ever argue. I think we probably got the same view on things, but I'm just either a step behind you or a step in front of you, exactly the same. But, no, my level of disbelief is at the level now where they're saying, a volcano blew up, it froze an entire town, then they showed people having sex, people using a toilet, and now people go and visit it, and it just adds to that, well, it adds to the time period, doesn't it? Oh, this happened then, when clearly, you know, it didn't happen then. There's not many people wrote about finding Pompeii You know, I mean, I don't think anyone wrote about it for about 100 years after it happened.
I don't think it was discovered until like the late 1800s again or something.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's almost like, you know, they had an island, something happened on the thing, and they went, right, we're going to reenact what would have happened on the island for, I don't know, someone who was rich. And then 100 years after that, they went, oh, look what we found there, and they put another story behind it. I really don't know. It's the same as the Terracotta Army. All these things, and Göbekli Tepe. All these things, they're unproven. The pyramids are unproven. Carbon dating doesn't work. Our stories are hearsay, and we have to go off visuals. But what we get told is what we're being shown as we're being... Sorry, we get told what we're being shown as we're being shown it. So they're saying, oh, people died here, and they show you pictures. I mean, you know the person who took you around the place and, you know, did all the speaking? Were they personable? Or did they look like they didn't enjoy the job?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Sorry, I'm saying the person that took you around the place, were they personable? Or did they look like they
Oh, I mean, took us around Pompeii?
Yes.
Oh, no, we didn't have anyone. We just walked around.
Ah, right. I thought it was an entire spiel for you there. So what you got from that there is your own opinion. That's a lot better, actually. Makes more sense. Because it would have to be convincing, you know, to make people go there. What do you think about pilgrimages? No.
So sorry, here a minute. I'm gonna send you guys some pictures from my...
Oh, lovely. There. Lovely. Because it seems to me that all it is you used to get pilgrimages, and now the pilgrimage... Right, okay, I've got that picture. That's a lot more anatomically correct, actually. My hands. Where were these from?
They were on display there.
They actually look like they've been done afterwards because they're not far off real bodies, and that's the way bodies expand. See, this is what I would have expected to see rather than the thinner figures. You know, seeing as we know a lot more about the anatomy now and how our bodies expand once they die and stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty, I mean, but this is what the first thing I saw when I went in there, other than, you know, it was really cool.
These look like the modern. I'll be dead honest with you. Fakeologists kicked in. These look like the modern. These look like people who've donated the bodies and they've had something done to them and then that's been transferred to Pompeii. That's my only opinion. So, anyway. Because compared to all the other bodies, none of these are even remotely the same. They're the ones that we've seen for 25, 30 years. So if you were seeing these, I can see why you would have the opinion you would now. They look real. It's intriguing. The ones that Del posted, they're the ones that we've seen for years, and yet there's no swelling. You know, it is literally nuclear atomic age, the ones that Del's showing there. Equivalent of shadows being stuck to a wall. Yeah, I'm unsure there, Tal. I really am, mate. The ones you're showing look real, but it just makes it sound...
This is Just Saying Dude, and I am speaking to you from New Zealand, and I'm telling you that if you want to get the real oil, you need to listen to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.